Why, hello there. This is David Martinez here with the David Martinez podcast. It is currently still, although only by an hour, Saturday, June 27th, 2014. Okay, so first and foremost, I feel like I need to apologize here because at the beginning of this podcast and throughout, you know, from podcast to podcast, I feel like I made a solemn oath. I feel like I made a covenant, if you will, with my listeners, all four or five of you. I'm sure I must have lost a few since April, that I would do this whole thing. I didn't want to commit myself to so many, I didn't want to commit myself to too particular a schedule, or at least too frequent of a schedule. But I did at least say that at least once a month I'd try to fart one of these things out, and even if it was bad. And at least half of them are, let's be honest. Now that it is June and coming toward the end of June, and the last one I did was at the end of April, I pretty much skipped May. And I'm a little bummed by that. I have my excuses. I have my reasons, like most of us do when we fail at something. So I would like the opportunity to give them. And seeing as how you're tuning in and listening, I can only assume that you have some interest in what I have to say. As you may recall from my last podcast, I moved houses. We moved to the fair city of Pomona. So correction from last time I said that we were moving to the Lincoln Heights district of Pomona. That's not entirely correct, apparently. And I thought this was the case, but I'm like, no, I surely must be mistaken. I only have this word association, you know, elsewhere, which is why I think this. But it turns out we didn't move to the Lincoln Heights district of Pomona. We moved to the Lincoln Park district of Pomona. Yes, that's right. Lincoln Park. One step closer to the edge, because I'm about to break. That's where we moved to. Lincoln Park. So yes, we moved to the Lincoln Park district of Pomona. So we're all moved in now. Most of June has been spent, moving in, getting settled, painting this, fixing that, arranging this, moving up that, patching up this, blah, 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 and all the other sort of, you know, homeowning sort of annoyances and whatnot. And throughout all that, part of it is I didn't have all of my equipment sort of unpacked up until relatively recently. Part of it is that I've got another computer now that I'm using for my sort of podcasting and recording type things. And like most things that end up happening in my life, part of it is I'm just sort of lazy and unmotivated. That's kind of what happened. We're now living in this place. As you might be able to tell, I feel like now that I'm listening and recording to this, I can hear the small room hardwood floor acoustics that in my apartment weren't there, because my apartment had like those carpets which sort of absorbed the resonance. But now you can kind of you can kind of hear this sort of hardwood acoustics in the room, and I kind of like that. I sort of like any kind of aesthetics in recording where you can kind of hear the process a little bit, hear some of what's behind the curtain a bit. That's kind of why I like when people do sort of like B-sides or like, you know, small, you know, little hidden tracks in their CDs, and you sort of hear like the noise from the guitars, or you hear like the guy counting down, okay, 1, 2, 3, and the song sort of kicks in. So I kind of like that aesthetic here where you can sort of hear the room acoustics, you can hear the ceiling fans sort of going. I don't know, it sort of personalizes it for me a little bit, and I don't know, frankly, I like that. New house. Before I get into the rest of the podcast and podcasting subjects, podcast password. So, what this is basically, this is a mechanism by which, people who listen to the podcast, can communicate this to me in a way that is, in a way that shows me, you know, honestly and sincerely, you did listen, at least to the beginning of the podcast, that you listened. So I tell you what the password is. And then you will then go ahead and post that podcast in a little message or a comment, or you'll, you know, if you, even if you want to send me a private message with the password, feel free. Gosh, it's been so long. I actually forgot what last podcast's password was or who actually commented on it. So I'm not going to be able to give kudos this particular time. And again, that's on me. I'm sure you guys did your job. You guys made the effort. You guys did your part in this. I didn't do my part in this. And so for that, I am sorry. I am sincerely and honestly sorry. And I can, the best I can do is something more personal, but the second best, maybe the third best I can do is to promise is a bit strong, is to say that I will try really hard not to do that again, not to wait so long in between podcasts. And frankly, now that I have an office and a space with which I can do this, now that we have more house to expand in and to stretch our legs in and to work in, maybe I might hopefully be able to do this a bit more often, but you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. So all that long-windedness having been aired out, this podcast's password is push button. Push button. So if you are a listener to the podcast, if you are listening to the podcast, and you want to communicate to me that you did work, you know, send me a comment or a message of some kind with the podcast password. If you work it into a clever or funny sort of sentence, which some of my listeners are opt to do, that'd be great. Push button. There it is. Whoop. There it is. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So new house. It's sort of funny. This is the first home I've ever, owned, obviously. The first house that I've ever sort of been in charge of or been sort of the master of. And there's kind of some funny things that sort of come along with that. First of all, just having room. Again, just having a room to sort of stretch in and to, you know, have some space with is sort of great. It's great and it's bad. It's great because now there's room. Now, you know, you don't have to be, you know, scrambling for and like, you know, trying to scrape out some little space for you to do things. And now there is actually room to do all this stuff. There's a yard and there's a garage and there's three bedrooms as opposed to one. And there's a nice, you know, office and living area and a dining area and all these sort of spaces. But these spaces obviously are places that have to be filled with furniture and stuff. And the other thing I've noticed about having more space and more spaces is, it's more space just for you to like cram crap in that you don't want to have to deal with right now. It's like, okay, well, all right, we washed and dried all the laundry. I don't feel like folding it. Screw it. Just put it in that bedroom that we're not using right now. Like, oh gosh, here's all this stuff that we don't really have a space for. Well, we have all these cabinets over here that we're not using. Just stuff it in there and then we'll just think about it later. So there's sort of that good and bad of like having space and having, you know, sort of places, sort of things to do with. Having a lawn is kind of fun. I feel like having a lawn has always been one of those things like people, how people in Southern California regard people who have snow. It's always been one of those things that sort of always seems so sort of quaint and sort of fun, like that you see in the movies, but I've never really experienced myself. And so it's, you know, like totally cool now. Like even things like raking leaves and mowing the lawn, like are such like fun and novel things. That I get to do now, that I guess probably seems sort of odd to other people, but you know, I've never experienced this before. So this is so, sort of cool and fun. And one of my favorite things. And so I feel like I've always wanted to be able to do this. For those of you who are sort of friends with me and who know me like on Facebook and Instagram, we had finalized the sale and our real estate agent was here with us and she had like the champagne and the sold sign and all these other sort of things. I remember this thought occurred to me of like, you know, there's something I'm the first one of my siblings here to actually own a home, to really own a home. And I imagine I'm sort of younger than probably most people I know in my family have ever been when they've owned a home. And it's a very meaningful experience for me. And I, there's something that I've always wanted to be able to do. So I asked the realtor and my wife to go ahead and and step outside into the front yard. And I, you know, walked out. Walked into the house. And then I slowly walked out of the house. And I pointed my most wagging, gyrating sort of finger at them and said, "Get the hell off my property!" I always feel like it's one of those funny things you see like old men do, like in television shows, you know, in sort of old sitcoms and like movies, you know, like, "Get off my lawn, son! Get off my property!" And I've never had any property or any lawn to tell young people to get off of. But now I do. And that's something I can truthfully and honestly say. I can join the ranks of cantankerous and curmudgeonly old men and say, "Get off my property!" So that's actually very fun for me. And then there's little sort of dumb things that are sort of luxuries, just because, you know, either there were things that I never had personally, or there were things, you know, living in an apartment for the last 7 years I never really had, like being able to do our own laundry. That's awesome. Being able to just say like, "Screw it, I just want to do a small load of darks just because I need darks right now." Like, that's pretty cool. One thing, which is kind of funny because I feel like most people growing up nowadays have this, but you know, for whatever reason, we just never did. Having a refrigerator that makes ice. as an American, I like my ice. You know, not quite in everything, but you know, ice is certainly a big part of my day. During hot seasons, I like iced coffee. I do like putting ice in my water, ice and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I'm not really quite at the ice in my whiskey type, you know, sort of arena. But, you know, in general, I am very American in the sense that I like my ice. And so previously, making ice was always like, ice was always a bit of a precious commodity because you have like a couple of ice trays and you had to fill them, you know, so many, like, you know, the night before, or like so many hours before you really wanted ice. And, you know, the ice that's in the amount of ice that's in ice trays is so small. Like it's maybe a couple of cups. So like you really had to like plan and sort of, you know, work your way around like how you were going to use and how you were going to, you know, provision your ice in order to sort of have ice. Cause it was precious. It was precious, precious ice. Now that I've got, you know, we were able to get this, our fridge in place, and we were able to get our general contractor, a very nice man by the name of Adolfo, by the way, if any of you guys are looking for someone, for somebody, I was able to get the water hookup going with the fridge. And now we've, not only does the fridge make water, which is also miraculous to, you know, caveman Dave over here, but it makes ice. Like ice all day long, just this endless sort of wealth of ice. I feel like I'm the Scrooge McDuck of ice. Ice for all my men, ice for our drinks. I'm just throwing ice on the lawn to water it. I'm throwing ice at random transients. I'm crushing up ice and having snowball fights in the house. There's just ice. There may not be hot water in the kitchen sink. There may not be furniture in the living area, but by God's grace, there is ice, and there will always be ice. And yeah, so that's also one of the sort of fun things about about this whole sort of living situation. Well, so that was a lot of what I sort of wanted to talk about. Most everything else was going to be just sort of odd things, but real estate. This is something I've always said, and Mike Hamilton, if you're listening, I know this is one of his sort of favorite things of mine to sort of quote. But I've always held that the chicken establishments in a particular area are a good socioeconomic kind of indicator. You know, forget all the other real estate stuff that that your realtor will try to impart on you, like, "Oh, where the schools are sort of this, and well, there's some new development happening over here, and there's some gentrification," which is one of, you know, people's favorite words right now, "some gentrification happening over this particular area," and all these other sort of things. But you know, a good indicator, just, you know, forget all this other stuff, is the chicken establishments that happen to be near your area. What do I mean by that? Okay, so you've got your really, really nice neighborhoods, and they've got like these, you know, upscale, rare, esoteric kind of chicken joints like Cuckoo or other establishments you've probably never heard of before. And if you see that in your area, you're like, "Oh, wow, this is a pretty solid sort of neighborhood." If your neighborhood has like a Boston Market, you're like, okay, still pretty nice, probably pretty clean, you know, middle to upper middle income kind of neighborhood. Great establishment. If the nearest place is like a KFC, you're like, okay, probably solidly middle class kind of neighborhood. Just had to move my mouse right now. Probably solidly middle class type of neighborhood. Not too great, but you know, not too poor. I'm doing okay. If the chicken joints in my area are KFC, I'm probably just fine. After that, and here's where the toss up is, because I feel like some of these chicken joints have been kind of fluctuating a little bit. So I'm going to still go off of what my traditional beliefs have been about this area, about chicken joints, and just kind of go from there. After that, Popeyes and churches are kind of like the chicken joints. I feel like Popeyes has been getting a little better. You're starting to see Popeyes commercials on like daytime television and, you know, by warm Southern talking, you know, nice, you know, homely looking black women just talking about how much they love their chicken. And so I feel like, you know, maybe Popeyes is getting a little better on the socioeconomic ladder. But if you're in a neighborhood with like Popeyes or churches, you're probably starting to fall down the lower middle to lower income kind of scale when it comes to like neighborhoods. And by the way, there's a churches within like easy biking distance of our house. Again, this neighborhood, this sort of, you know, so many square blockage area is cool, but too far out of that, you're reminded once again that you're in the city of Pomona. And then finally, after your Popeyes and your church's neighborhoods, you've got your Pioneer Chicken neighborhoods. And if you're in a Pioneer Chicken neighborhood, you just keep driving. Just pack up your stuff. Just burn the house. Just keep on going because, you know, you I'm surprised you haven't been shot yet. You know, that's what I'm saying. So again, like as, you know, we sort of moved into this neighborhood, obviously we're hearing all the normal statistics and the normal sort of things about schools and crime and like, you know, the comps in the area and blah, blah, blah. And I remember like seeing some of these other streets that are adjacent to ours and going like, oh, these look a little rough. And then like finding one like church's chicken on this particular corner and go like, aha, that is all I needed to know about the areas that are most adjacent to our, albeit nice and quiet and clean sort of area. But you know, right there, that's it, churches. So that one's free. You know, you just tuck that one away when you guys are house hunting or whatever. Okay. I had like a handful of like bits. I might compose these later on. I wanted to like do this. I was thinking about doing like segments like they do on various comedic type shows. I was going to do this like segment called like, is it just me? Is it just me? Or, you know, and some sort of observation, but I think I'm going to keep those observations for later. Some of these are funny. Some of these are not funny. So I don't know. I think we'll put this off. I recently had some, I feel like I've been a little lost recently with, you know, the whole purpose of this podcast thing. Move some stuff around here. I feel like I was a little lost recently, like, you know, originally, I don't know, when I was first, you know, sort of doing this, I would say things like how I didn't want this to be like this super serious thing, you know, and again, I feel like every time I like hop on the internet, every month now, there's like more and more bloggers that are, you know, trying to impress upon me what they sort of think about things. And every time something happens, there's a whole slew of bloggers that then say one thing, and there's a whole slew of other bloggers that will then go out of their way to say the opposite thing and like, oh, the real thing you should be, you know, like, you know, all these people who are really trying to be sort of thoughtful and insightful, and most of them just aren't. They're just regurgitating some crap that somebody else said or saying some very gross and obvious thing. And like, I didn't want to be that guy either. I just kind of wanted to just sort of entertain and have fun with this because I haven't had any real creative outlets in my life in quite a while. But at the same time, I feel like as I was going, you know, over from episode to episode, like so many of these things, you know, would sort of take a turn into the serious. I'm like, ah, that's not exactly what I wanted to do. I'm like, you know, do I just take myself too seriously to just be sort of open and funny all the time? Like, and I feel like that's part of the problem. Like so many times, like a subject will come up or something will happen and I'll kind of shy away from it because I don't want to offend or I don't want to do this. Or I'm like, I feel like I'm too self-conscious to just put out a funny or a humorous podcast. I take myself too seriously to just sort of be funny, and I need to work on that. And I was kind of struggling through that a little bit. And then a friend of mine, a gentleman named Donovan, if you're listening, sir, kind of gave me a little bit of encouragement, because he's like, dude, just don't sweat it so much. Don't worry about this sort of thing so much. You know what I mean? Like, you're naturally just kind of funny. So whatever, I'm paraphrasing here, Donovan, I'm sorry. You're naturally sort of funny. So like whatever subjects you decide to tackle or talk about, humor will just sort of come along with that. So just let it happen. Don't feel like you have to like, oh, it's getting too much into the serious realm. Let me, sort of steer this in the other direction. Just sort of let it be. And I realized, like, you know what? You're right. More than anything else, one of the principles that I wanted to sort of guide this podcast is I didn't, as probably stupid as this is going to sound, and maybe I should really articulate this better, but for now, this is all I have, is sort of the purposelessness, the lack of purpose that this podcast was going to have. I'm not going to be Mr. Political about, stuff. I'm not going to be, I'm not going to try to tackle really, serious and deep issues. I'm not going to talk about like, oh, computers or, something else that maybe I do know a little bit about. It was just going to be me with a mic and, something of a script and an outline and just talking. And so given my personality, I tend to be a, somewhat lighthearted and occasionally sort of funny person. Whatever subject I happen to tackle, funny will sort of come along with that, organically. And just let it happen, man. And so, Mr. Donovan, I thank you very much for that, because that was kind of what I needed to hear. Kind of what I needed to hear to not be afraid to tackle certain subjects because, like, oh, I'm getting too into the realm of seriousness. I'm being too stoic here. Like, not that I want to try to take myself seriously, because I don't think that's particularly right. I feel like that needs to be qualified a bit more, but I'm just going to move on. Not that I want to take myself seriously more, but more that I don't want this podcast to be a serious podcast. I want to keep a lighthearted tone, but knowing that being the kind of person that I am, most things I talk about will probably have a more lighthearted sort of tone to them and to not sweat it so much. So anyhow, moving right along. Okay, so this is like, this will probably be the anchor for this particular podcast. This is the serious subject. This is one that I've actually been sitting on and waiting on since almost my last podcast aired, but I, for lack of an opportunity and for lack of motivation and drive to do it, I just haven't been able to talk about it, but I still felt pretty strongly about it. Like, I was going to sit there and wait and go like, okay, well, if I still feel this strongly about it by the time I'm actually, got the gumption to go and do my podcast, I'll still talk about it. My wife always likes to remind me that I have woman issues. And maybe this comes from the woman issues. I'm not going to deny that that may be part of this. But part of it also is, and I know I'm really setting this whole thing up before I'm even bothering to tell you what this is all about. Part of it is because the kinds of people who like to assail normal and common and somewhat universal sort of emotions and sentiments are people that I tend to dislike a lot. And so this sort of, fueled my ire a little bit. And also I tend to think that I have a good relationship with my mom, which also kind of fuels a bit. So Mother's Day. As I think I mentioned in one of my other podcasts, it seems like every holiday has some haters. And some holidays have haters for, more obvious reasons than others. I don't know if it was my last podcast or the podcast before. Hang on. I talked about Valentine's Day haters and why I didn't feel like most of what they had to say was particularly insightful or valid or anything else. And then obviously, various, sort of cultural or religious holidays or ones that have some religious origin, usually will have haters for one reason or another, blah, 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 blah. But I guess in my mind, I really thought that Mother's Day of all holidays probably wouldn't have too many people that would, you know, sort of buck against that or like have a real problem with that. I'm like, come on. I'm like, Mother's Day, really? Like, you're going to get mad at just celebrating mothers and motherhood? Like, I don't know. It just never occurred to me that there would be a problem there, but apparently there is. So like this particular post, I guess it was something that this lady posted. She's like, oh, but it's something that I posted like on this magazine. I think it was like salon.com or something back in 2000 and whatever. And I'm just reposting. It was like on Mother's Day. Cause she was, you know, she really wanted to make sure that, kind of get some more mileage or traction out of this particular blog post. I'm reposting this thing right now. And what bothered me, there was like two things that really bothered me about the article. One was there were so many things in it that I just sort of vehemently disagreed with. And I just thought I just didn't like, which is normal. I mean, you know, it's the internet. There's going to be 100 billion people, literally 100 billion people, even though there's only like 6 or 7 billion people in the world, there's 100 billion people on the internet. You know, posting things that I don't like, that I don't agree with, that some cases I think are just dumb. So it was partially that, and partially because the person who posted it was like, a unique and refreshing outlook on Mother's Day. The fact that this person really sort of bought into this whole, you know, the content of this particular article is what also kind of infuriated me a little bit. Because for me, it's like, not only is this person spewing what I believe is somewhat toxic, but the toxic is working. The toxic this person is sort of, you know, sort of spitting out there is becoming effective, and other people are buying it and listening to go like, well, that's a real sound and refreshing outlook on the whole thing. And so that's kind of what really made me sort of like cringe and getting mad at it. So much so that I actually printed the whole thing out. I actually have in my hand now the whole article because I wanted to stew over this and give it the attention and that it deserved. I wanted to savor every morsel of every paragraph here, to roll it around in my tongue and let all the honey be tasted. So anyhow, this might end up being a bit rambling, but so here it is. So anyhow, so the article goes, like, here's a piece I wrote for salon.com in 2010, la, 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 la. So she begins, I did not raise my son, Sam, to celebrate Mother's Day. I did not want him to feel obligated to buy me pricey lunches or flowers, some annual display of gratitude that you have to grit your teeth and endure, which already right there I have a problem with, because like the Valentine's Day thing where, you know, people have to, you know, get really... where people have to get really sort of upset and annoyed, like, oh, that's this big obligation I have to. It's the same freaking holiday every freaking year. Yes, maybe Mother's Day is a somewhat of a floating holiday, but we all know when it's coming. We all know when it's coming up, you know? And so it shouldn't be a surprise. The fact that it's, you know, if you think of it as this like, oh, this obligatory thing, I have to grit my teeth and buy these sort of things, like, maybe that's not the holiday that's problematic. Maybe that's you. Maybe, sweetheart, that's your precious little Sam that hasn't been raised right to be thoughtful enough to just take a little bit of time. It doesn't have to be a pricey or expensive thing. And just something. Not every mother demands a pricey or expensive bit of something. It's just a thought. Anyhow, I could go on and on just on that alone, but we're going to move on. Okay, but Mother's Day celebrates a huge lie about the value of women, that mothers are superior beings, that they have done more with their lives and chosen a more difficult path. Ha! She says. She actually wrote, ha! She was just scoffing. She was just there's such a ridiculous concept that I just have to actually scoff at. Ha! Every woman's path is difficult, and many mothers were as equipped to raise children as wire monkey mothers. I say that without judgment. It is sadly true, and unhealthy mothers' love is withering. So, we do put a lot of emotion and sentimentality behind the institution of mothers and of motherhood. And I think this is largely because we recognize that it is a difficult, it is a mostly, with the exception of this once a time, you know, one time a year or when some pop star or football player thanks his mom in a speech, it is mostly a thankless sort of job. To say that, oh, because we just think that they're just the superior beings, I don't think so. I think that if you really think that's the popular sentiment, you don't understand the popular sentiment. That's what I would say. And then everyone's path is difficult, and many mothers were as equipped to raise children as wire monkeys. Yes, I agree. I think what a lot of people, the problem that a lot of people have, and the reason why a lot of people are so quick to demean and dismiss the importance of, and just how wonderful the institution of, and again, I am speaking of as somebody who will never ever begin to be a mother or even understand this, but this is purely as an outsider kind of opinion on the matter. People like to demean motherhood and the institution of motherhood on the grounds that it is, because you don't work, it doesn't require any special credential or any special certifications to become a mother. Almost anybody and almost any woman, I should say, can do it. And as a result, of course, many people who, how should I put this delicately? Many people who have personal issues, who may want to be mothers for the wrong reason, who maybe didn't want to be mothers in the first place, and have found, you know, motherhood sort of thrust upon them. Many people who have maybe mental issues or emotional issues or various other things which then complicate and make motherhood difficult for them, or make them, I forgive me if this is an irreverent term, sort of bad mothers. You know, people like to point to those and say, like, point to those kind of instances as a way of dismissing how important, how wonderful a thing is motherhood. It's easy to look, to take an institution like motherhood that is so common and that is so, for the most part, universal, not only for our culture, but for cultures all around the world from now until, and from time immemorial, and say, well, you know, look at all these, you know, dumb teen moms, and look at all these mothers who do, you know, who raise their children to do terrible and horrible things. Like, you're going to tell me that's so special a thing? And I would say yes. I would say yes, it is. I would say that one of the most wonderful things about motherhood is that it is so common, that it is so universal. It is one of the things that for the most part binds people from, you know, various, you know, cities and countries and cultures and backgrounds and even generations. It is one of these common sort of factors that really is universal, and that many of us, either from the inside or indirectly from the outside, identify with and understand. And the fact that some women unfortunately do it badly for one reason or another, whatever that reason is, however their fault it is or not, I think is one of the primary reasons why they need our support, and we need to support and respect and honor them and remember that this is a difficult, difficult gig. And sometimes women are dealt a really, really difficult, difficult hand with regards to this, and to be respectful about it. So anyhow, and then she goes on, the illusion that mothers are happier and more fulfilled is complete, but the craziest, grimmest people on Sunday will be the mothers themselves, stuck hurting their own mothers and weeping children and husbands' mothers into seats at restaurants. These mothers do not want a box of chocolates. These mothers are on a diet. Well, I'm sorry. I hardly think that is the experience of all mothers on Mother's Day. I'm sorry that you're reading your own neurotic and, you know, intense breed and your own neurotic and intense motivations into motherhood and Mother's Day. But I hardly think that is the experience of many, many mothers. I think many, many mothers probably have a halfway decent time, probably, as, you know, the thoughtfulness of their husbands or their children perhaps dictate. I'll probably appreciate just at least a small bit of recognition once a year. Don't basically feel like it's this one huge, big, giant obligation. And to be honest, Mother's Day is not unique in that respect. There's always going to be something that comes up, whether it's Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, a birthday, an anniversary, something. You're never going to get away from having some reason to, like, prepare and to be thoughtful and to think and to stop and whatever. And if you're the kind of person who's so unaccustomed to doing that, and believe me, I count myself in that, because I am totally one of these thoughtless types of people who always forget and are always scrambling and always frantic to, you know, get things together. If you're like me and you're one of these types of people who does feel stressed out and does feel all this obligatory sort of weight to kind of, you know, do things to get things done, I'm sorry, that is not the fault of Mother's Day or any other one of these annual institutions. That is my fault. That is your fault. Because these things have been around since long before you were born. You've always known about these things. And if in your own selfishness and your own, you know, self-absorption with all the things that you find interesting and fun, your career and your hobbies and your friends and your, you know, good times and your education and whatever else it is, you haven't managed to sliver out a little bit of time for something that comes every single time around the same frickin' time every frickin' year, then that's on you. Okay, that's not bad on annual traditions. That's bad on you, period. And then, of course, you know, the typical thing that she goes into next, which I hate the way the holiday makes all non-mothers and daughters of dead mothers and mothers of dead or severely damaged children feel the deepest kind of grief and failure. Non-mothers sit in their churches, temples, mosques, recovery rooms, and pretend to feel good about a day while they are excluded from a holiday that benefits no one but Hallmark and C's, which is crap, but I'm going to move on from that. There is no refuge, not at horse races, movies, malls, museums. Even the turn off your cell phone announcer is going to open saying, "Happy Mother's Day." You could always hide in a nice CD bar, I suppose, or an ER. And again, this is another one of these things where, you know, again, Mother's Day is not unique in this regard. Here's the part where I do want to make sure that I'm showing due respect and do reverence to some situations which are really difficult to women who would like to be mothers but have not for whatever reason, or to the children or spouses of people whose mothers have passed on. I imagine Mother's Day probably is accompanied with a certain amount of grief and sorrow, and I do not want to diminish that. Absolutely not. Those are legitimately difficult things. But to combat this particular woman's sentiment on the matter, there are going to be any number of things which come up which will have that same bittersweet quality to them. Every time, you know, young kids are graduating, or your deceased mother's birthday comes around, or your deceased spouse, your anniversary comes around, these sort of things will always carry with them a certain pain along with them. But I don't think the people who feel this pain, who have not been able to have children, who have wanted to be mothers or daughters or sons or husbands of women who have passed on, I don't think those people would ever want to destroy the holiday or the recognition of Mother's Day just so they would have one less reason to feel bad. I don't think anybody who actually is inside this normal and common sentiment would ever want to get rid of that just so that way they wouldn't have to feel that pain. They recognize these are good things, and there's a part of them that would want to continue to be able to celebrate these good things, but their circumstances are such that they're not able to. And again, I don't want to diminish that pain, but I don't think this woman's cheap sentiment does that either. In her mind, everything that, you know, every holiday or every sentiment that is that somebody might be a little hurt over should be abolished for that particular reason. And that's everything. You're not going to be able to get away from that anywhere. I'm sorry. And most people who are within that particular epoch and understand this wouldn't want that either. It's your particular breed that is determined that it must be a bad thing because, you know, it makes my son stressed out, or, you know, other people I know who've chosen, you know, a career or something feel left out. Like, okay, for those people who have made a conscious choice to not start a family or be in a family, that's a totally cool choice. But, you know, don't feel like suddenly you have to destroy all of our fondness and recognition for motherhood and Mother's Day just to make these other people who have made a conscious choice to not, you know, enter into that, not feel bad or left out. You made your choice. You knew what you were getting into. So, and again, I feel like most people don't really feel that way, but a small and select group of people like this particular woman here. There's 2 years of my life. It perpetuates the dangerous idea that all parents are somehow superior to non-parents. Meanwhile, we know that the worst, skeeviest, and most evil people in the world are CEOs and politicians who are proud parents. The fact that CEOs and politicians, some of which are probably terrible people, happen to also be, family men and family women means absolutely nothing. Because guess what? The institution of having a family, of being, a father and a mother and having children, is a very universal institution. Good people and bad people have children. And everybody who's born obviously had a father and mother. So this whole stupid little thing that she inserts in, like, meanwhile, the family is not so great because all these evil people have family. Keep in mind that evil people, every single evil person has a family. That's only to say that families are universal and everybody has them. Whether or not they're happy and well-structured and wholesome families is a whole other story, but that was such a stupid thing to add, such a stupid thing to say. I'm sorry. Somehow superior to non-parents. As far as that's concerned, I guess for me, I don't think, again, that most people would say that they're superior, but I will say that if for whatever reason you haven't, whether it's because you haven't chosen to or because this choice has been forced upon you, you haven't chosen to enter into a institution that is as universal, and again, certainly not, culturally, so as tremendously universal as parenthood, and you've made a conscious choice not to do so, then yeah, you're probably missing out on a lot of things. I myself have not entered into many wonderful and great institutions, and as a result, there's probably a lot of things that I have missed out on. I will obviously never be a mother. And yes, there are probably certain things and certain types of love and certain types of sacrifice that I will probably never really fully have an understanding of. And again, I don't want to pretend that that isn't true just so I don't feel bad and left out. It's just the way the world works. I'm trying to think of another one. I have never been, nor at this point do I imagine I will ever be, a soldier. And being a soldier and being somebody who's willing to fight for a good cause and for your country and for any number of good things, I think is a wonderful institution. And there's many wonderful and great experiences and virtues that can be cultivated from such a wonderful institution. Those are things that I will never understand fully and never be a part of. I will never understand the cultivation of physical courage and of bravery it takes to be a soldier, even a soldier that fights for an unjust cause. I will never understand that kind of courage, never in my life. Is there a sense in which a soldier is a better person than me, better by the sense that they are a more valuable person than me? No, they're just another type of person. But there is a large sense in which there are many great and wonderful things that I will never understand by never having entered into that particular institution. So that's that. And then finally, she goes, don't get me wrong, I literally have the same son. Moving on. Okay, so the last one, this last thing she goes, but my main gripe about Mother's Day is that it feels incomplete and imprecise. The main thing that ever helped mothers was other people mothering them and a chain of mothering that keeps the whole shebang afloat. I'm a mother who grew up in partly in spite of my mother and partly because of the extraordinary love of her best friend, yada, yada. So she basically then goes on to say, like, of all, now that I've managed to sort of crap all over everyone's sentimentality and all the importance people put on motherhood and Mother's Day, I'm going to then finish by saying, but really the problem I have that is Mother's Day feels incomplete and imprecise. Basically, it doesn't go far enough. So on one hand, you feel annoyed at the importance and, how wonderful and how amazing people, regard mothers and motherhood as being. But then, and complain that, Mother's Day just sort of feeds into this particular lie that it's a wonderful and great thing and that mothers are wonderful people. But then go on to say, my biggest problem is that it feels so, as she put it, incomplete and imprecise. And again, I do share her sentiment in the sense that, yes, merely sending some obligatory card and chocolates, who really sends mother's chocolates, moving on from that, is, yes, probably an incomplete and an imprecise thing. But again, that being said, That is not what Mother's Day was invented for. I'm sure as some people will try to argue, it only benefits these and Hallmark and all of the big cards and big chocolate organizations that run things, that really run things in Washington. You know, Mother's Day was instituted in the early 20s or some odd, and I'm really gonna botch my history here, by a woman who felt that, you know what? This is a position and an institution that is largely thankless, that is hugely difficult, but is, of course, enormously important to society as a whole. And we should have a day in which we just stop, we drop all this crap that we find generally so important, our hobbies and our careers and our education and all this stuff that we're sort of putting so much strength and emphasis on, and remember that this thing, this common, this universal, this... And while this is extraordinarily important and accessible, and at the same time accessible thing, should be recognized for how important and how wonderful it is. Let's go ahead and stop and do that right now. And again, that is the essence of what Mother's Day was here for. Granted, I'm sure a lot of people practice this in a way that is, you know, sort of stressful or harsh or whatever. They impose a lot of sort of strict, obligatory crap on their spouses or their children, or it's hugely stressful for them because they're just, you know, sort of neurotic and stressed out kind of people as it is, or, you know, maybe in some people's cases, it is a genuine source of pain for things that they can never experience for themselves or for things that were once in their lives, but were now lost. But, and again, all that stuff aside, the thing itself is still a very, very good thing. And if you find that it is just a source of like resentment and, you know, sort of obligatory sort of whatever on your part, then I'm sorry, you're wrong. You're doing it wrong. The thing itself isn't wrong. You're wrong. Madam, your precious little Sam, if that's really how he regards Mother's Day, then he's wrong, not the holiday. All right. Well, that whole shtick and shebang aside, I guess that's pretty much it. So thank you guys, however many of you there are, for listening and for tuning in. Again, I'm going to once again try to commit myself to at least doing this sort of thing once a month. I'll try to make it more regularized. I really do would like to bring it to the point where it's a bit more regular, but for now, it is what it is. Thank you so much for your patience. Thank you so much for your listenership. Listenership? Stewardship? I don't know. Whatever. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are all wonderful, and I hope to hear from you sometime soon.